We've got a lot to celebrate.
Now, as we celebrate, typically I love to pray. I love to pray for Daniel after something like this happens, that God protects him, that God continues to help us protect him as well. So let's pray, and then we'll jump into the message here. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful. We're so grateful because we know the party that's going on in heaven right now. The angels, for a son of yours who was once lost, has returned home, God. And this is really exciting for you, and it's exciting for us. Lord, please protect Daniel. Please help him grow in his love for you and every day so he can fathom how wide, how deep, how incredible your love is, God. Remain faithful to the very end when you call him home, God. We love you. Bless tonight. Please let it be a powerful message. Speak powerfully to the campus ministry through me. And just open our hearts to hear your message, God. We love you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right. So we're going to have some fun tonight. Hopefully you're having fun already. But there's nothing better than hearing the word of God. Now, I want to say an official welcome to the teens, as has been said. Welcome, teens. We had a couple of junior seniors from the teen ministry in our church who are here today, who are getting a taste of the campus ministry, who are all staying in New Jersey for college. All right, no pressure. Here we go. Now, I wish I could say it. I wish I had a picture of it. But the big orange blob over here, Tommy Smith. I grew up with Tommy. Okay, Tommy has really been a little brother to me and to my family. And we have pictures of us going to Virginia Beach to Busch Gardens. And we were on this really cool roller coaster, Talon. And we're going, I got my hands up, I'm all excited. And Tommy's in the corner cowering. He's so afraid of the roller coaster. But Tommy has changed. I'm afraid of him now, okay? All right. What we're talking about tonight is becoming an advice seeker. This has been a reoccurring theme in our campus ministry midweeks as we're getting together. Last week we were snowed out, but the week before we got together and talked about motivation. And there really isn't much more basic things than motivation, going deeper in God's word. And now what we're talking about is a basic elementary truth of a disciple. Is being someone who seeks advice. Now, I'm not just saying that, okay? The word disciple itself literally means a learner. Okay, I don't know the Greek, I don't know the Latin, but it literally means learner. It means student. It means follower, all right? Well, like one of my favorite words that's used to describe a disciple is an apprentice, okay? And what that shows us is that you're just learning. Right. You're just trying to figure this stuff out. It would be ridiculous for an apprentice of a blacksmith shop to show up on his first day of work and to know everything that he needs to do. Instead, he shows up on his first day of work, he's a little curious, he wants to get some help, and he asks questions. He asks questions. And over the years that he's doing his blacksmith thing, he's learning, he's observing, he's asking, he's trying to understand the intricacies of how to do this thing. Okay? That same word apprentice is used to describe the people in this room who decided to be a disciple. You are simply just a learner. Okay, may I say, some of you guys are really good at what you do, but we're not experts yet. We're not perfect. And consider this. The person that we're following isn't some really good blacksmith. The person that we're following isn't somebody who's like a really, really good person. The person that we're trying in our lives to parallel is perfection incarnate, okay? The truth is, where we are compared to where Jesus is in terms of his perfection is so drastically off that we could probably never attain it within this lifetime. We are so far in terms of literally acting like Jesus, and we're trying to be better, but in terms of being exactly like Jesus, we've got a lot to learn. And so what we're talking about tonight is not something that's rocket science. It's not something that's incredibly difficult even to understand, but we're talking about something that is essential if you want to be a fruitful, you want to be a strong, and you want to be a maturing disciple. Amen? All right. Now, it's no surprise that advice and counsel is mentioned like 15 times in the Book of Wisdom. The greatest man ever alive, one of the wisest men ever alive, Solomon, wrote a book called Proverbs. And within that book of Proverbs, there are over 15 times that seeking advice, seeking counsel is advised. Now, we should be people who seek counsel. Consider these scriptures when we think about advice. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in the abundance of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 15:22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Plans are established, Proverbs 20, verse 18, plans are established by seeking advice. So if you wage war, obtain guidance. 24:6, for by wise guidance, you can wage war. Here we go. And an abundance of counselors, there is victory. Victory comes with an abundance of counselors. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on whose understanding? Don't be leaning on my own understanding. I'm not trying to lean on my understanding. In all your ways, submit to God and he will make your paths straight. Think about advice for a second. We know it's a good thing, but what it produces in our lives is safety, success, plans being firmly established, victory, straight paths. Who wants some advice in them? Who wants some of that in their life? Oh, absolutely, right? But on the flip side, if that's what is produced by a lot of advice, then what's produced by a lack of advice? I believe the opposite. So if that's what advice produces, then a lack of advice leads to danger, failure, unstable plans, defeat, and destruction. Advice is essential if we hope to grow in our Christianity. In a lot of ways, advice is like consider a fire. Advice is the accelerant, the oil, the gasoline that's thrown on the fire, right? Because you could go the entire life. You can go your entire life. Consider this. Jean Piaget. That's French. What's that? Jean Piaget. If any of you are Piaget, there you go. If any of you guys are clinical psychologists, you're studying to be a psychologist, you might know this. If you fell asleep in class, you won't know this. Someone starts speaking French to you, I don't even know what he's talking about. But he's considered one of the most influential psychologists. For he generated the theory of cognitive development, how the brain and how thought develops. In fact, how we mature. And he believed that growth, maturity, is obtained one way. And it's obtained by learning from experience. Okay? Wisdom, maturity, and growth is obtained through experience. But the funny thing is, he doesn't specify whose experience, okay? Now, you will grow and you will mature by enduring experiences, right? The thing is hot. You touch it, ouch, that hurts, you pull it away, I won't touch that again. Now, it would have been a different thing if someone told you, hey, watch out, that's hot. I touched myself there once, it hurt, don't do it again. You wouldn't do that because you learn from someone else's experience. Now, that's the beauty of advice. If you think of a line chart, in fact, like the amount that you're going to grow by yourself and through experiences, it's going to happen every day. You're going to learn, you're going to fail, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to find success, and you're going to grow and you're going to do better, right? But the moment you invite advice into your life, you don't have to spend the time experiencing the failure.
Right.
Someone else has done it for you. There's a shortcut. A good shortcut, right? Someone else has gone ahead of you. There have been countless people who have experienced the things that you are about to experience. And the advice that they give to you will protect you, will make your path straight, will give you victory. We need only ask. Okay. Those of you in high school, you might not understand this yet, but if you're in college, I promise you, you'll understand this. Even freshman year, you'll understand this. There's a thing called prerequisite classes. Oh, my spine just curled a little bit. Prerequisite classes. I want to graduate in 4 years. And my stinking program, I need that prerequisite. That's for another prerequisite. Essentially, you got to take a class that prepares you to take another class. It teaches you the foundational things. It teaches you really how to do this. You're going to take calc. You got to take pre-calc, right? Unless you're really smart and you're studying pre-calc on your own. Now think about this. We hope to have a lot of titles. We hope to have a lot of titles in our life. We hope to be a great friend. We hope to be an incredible student. We hope to be someone who helps others become Christians, a converter. We hope to be a great disciple. I hope to be a compassionate person. I want to be known as a compassionate person. I want to be known as a humble person. I want to be close to God. Those are all incredible things to aspire to. But you know what the prerequisite is for those things? Advice. Being a person who seeks advice opens the door to becoming a new person, becoming a person who is mature, who is complete, who is not lacking anything, as James says. So I've got one question for you tonight. And it's a very simple question. Are you an adamant advice seeker? And now we know it's a good thing. It's very clear advice. I gotta get advice. I know advice is important. Amen. But are you someone who eagerly pursues advice? Do you love it? Do you just love advice? I want some advice. Do you look for it everywhere you go? Do you consider questions that you can ask people? Do you prepare questions ahead of time to ask people? Do you allow people to evaluate your efforts and give feedback? Brothers and sisters, God wants to take this campus ministry, and God wants to take you to incredible places. He really does. He wants us to flourish. But I firmly believe that we will be stunted and we will grow at a slower rate from what God truly wants to do if we don't incorporate advice into our daily lives. If that's not at the core of who we are. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Are you guys going to be advice seekers?
Yeah.
That's the heart. And the rest of my lesson is going to be very practical based. I'm going to address a couple other things in the heart. First question, or not first question. My first point is that was anticlimactic. You got to take off the mask. You got to take off the mask. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter 5, verse 5 through 7.
Come on, man.
You got to take off the mask. First Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5. You gotta take off the mask. Hey, First Peter's in there. All right. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Take off the mask, starting in verse 5. A very convicting scripture for us. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Specifically talking about elders, but I think it's a good concept to submit yourselves to people who are wiser and who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Amen. Because, now here's the key point. You got to clothe yourself with humility. Why? Because God opposes the proud. But he shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
Amen.
An amazing scripture. It's up there. Sorry. Another scripture, Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right, but in the end, it leads to death. You got to take off the mask. And that mask that I'm talking about is pride.
Right.
The thing that's going to stunt your growth and stunt your ability to go get advice is pride.
Right.
Is the mask of pride. Humility says, help me be my best. I need help. Show me what to do. Help me be my best. Help me do the best that I can. Pride says, I know what to do. This makes sense, and I'm going to go do that. And this is what I'm going to do. I'll get advice when I'm really stumped. That's when I'll get advice. There's a good illustration. Growing up, there was a TV show that I used to watch. Oh my goodness, I was confused. I thought I became Mexican after watching this TV show. I mean, I just used to watch this all the time. And I learned some Spanish words, and I was like, hey man, here we go, right? Let me illustrate what pride looks like. I know exactly how to do this. I love that scripture where it says, there's a way that seems right, but in the end, it leads to death. Do you really got this? I think a lot of times we do. I think a lot of times we know what to do, but that doesn't mean we don't need to get advice. All right? You know, I see this attitude, this pride attitude in myself sometimes, and it's so ugly. It is so ugly. And for me, it might be different for you, but one of my biggest things comes up when I think I should know something, when I expect that I should know something, and I don't want to tell anybody, I don't want to get advice from anybody, because I don't want to look weak. I don't want to look bad. I want to just perform. I want to show that I got this. That's stupid. By the way, the Bible uses that word, right? That's dumb. Because what winds up happening is that I run into these events that I know how to do. And sometimes they go well. Other times they don't. I learn from that. But imagine the victory and the success that could be had if I just humbled out and just got a little bit of advice. Here's, and I think just to kind of illustrate that more, it says I'm more concerned about upholding my image than doing what is best for God. I think that's what really humility comes down to for us guys. George is still up there. That's what really humility comes down to. Pride is, I know how to do this, I'm gonna go do this, because this is my mentality, this is what seemed right, I'm gonna go do this. Humility is, well, I know what, maybe I do, maybe I don't know what to do, but help me do what's best for God. And a lot of times, our natural inclination isn't always to do what's best for God. That typically takes some more different perspectives to look at. All right. I thought I knew how to date. I thought I knew how to date. Okay? Before I dated Brielle and we got married, I thought I knew what I was doing. I mean, Brielle's taught me now that you gotta cut your hair and you gotta, you know, do your mustache and stuff, but I was like, I am Enrique Iglesias, right? I know exactly how to do these things. And so, right, I come in, I'm calling that sister every single day, how you doing? You doing all right? Yeah, I'm praying for you. What can I be praying for you for? Every day we're talking, every day we're texting, because that's how you do it, right? That's how I you know, love, that's how I encourage, right? You spend lots and lots of money on these people. You know, I think the truth was, I knew how to do it the world's way, and even at that, I was pretty bad. I knew how to do it the world's way, sort of. Romans 12:2 is very powerful.
Right.
Because it says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's an amazing scripture, because it says, don't conform to the patterns of this world. Before you're a disciple, what are you conformed to? Okay, and so now you're going to transform your mind, the renewing of your mind. This is brand new territory for us, guys. Transforming your mind to do God's way. I love the idea that Daniel's a newborn baby in Christ. He's a good old baby. And the reason is because this is a brand new world that he just entered into. It's a brand new world that we enter into. The overall age, the average age of our campus ministry spiritually, it's not that old. Maybe 2-3 years old spiritually. We're babies. We're still learning. We need to be trained not how to do what seems right to us, but how God's world works. Yeah. Right. And that requires help from people who know how to do it.
Right.
That requires help from people who've experienced it before. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm going to say this last thing, and then I'll go into some practicals. Humility is not playing stupid. It's not being weak. And it's not being powerless. That's not what humility is. In fact, the literal definition of humility is to lower one's self. Humility is associated with meekness, which simply means to take one's power, take one's ability, and put it aside, and to lower themselves. That's what humility is. And consider Jesus. In Philippians 2, he talks about, let me just read it, because it's so good. Philippians 2, verse 5, come there with me.
Bro.
We got to take off the mask. We got to be humble if we want to see ourselves flourish for God. Okay. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. I want to just identify what humility looks like. And this is the heart that we ought to emulate. Verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset, have the same attitude of that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, who was God in the flesh exactly, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being formed in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, and even death on the cross. Jesus humbled himself and became nothing. That's the humility that we're attempting to emulate. It's a sense of surrendering our ideas, our plans, so that we can do what is best to please God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So we're talking about humility. I don't even feel like I've mentioned advice a whole lot. Because the truth is, humility precedes getting advice, which precedes a whole world of growth. This is so important. And really, think about this in your own life. This will keep you, a lack of humility will keep you from seeing your need to get advice.
Yeah.
All right, a couple of really cool practicals that we're gonna go through together. Being an excellent advice seeker truly is completely dependent on the level of humility that you possess. Choosing to be humble is a difficult task. I think that's where a lot of us, whether you're in the position to be an advice seeker, or if you're like, hey, I need help to become in a position to become an advice seeker, I encourage you to study out humility. Do a word study on the word humility in the Bible. Really look deeper at what it was. If you want to grow in humility, I've got two surefire ways for this to work. You ready? You write this down, because it works every time. The quickest prayer I've ever had answered in the Bible, or in my life with God, is, God, please humble me. Oh man, it's like a 30-second work time sometimes. I don't want to pray right now because I'm preaching, but you know, like, ooh, God, please humble me. And God will bring you to a place of humility. The other thing you could do is ask someone who knows you, who has a pulse on how you're doing, and you can ask them, where have you seen me be prideful? Listen, I don't want to fight back, just tell me. Where have you seen me be prideful? And that's always a really good conversation, where tears sometimes ensue. All right, So guys, what does it look like to be humble in the area of advice seeking? All right, we're done with George. Here's a couple of practicals. First off, you gotta be in touch with your weaknesses. This is essential. If you're not in touch with your weaknesses, I've done this before. I wind up going to get advice, and I don't really know what to get advice on. Or I spend my time trying to get advice, and it's like not really what I need, because I don't have a true appreciation of where my what my weaknesses are. At the last retreat, Kyle Eastman had such a profound point. And he said, I am naturally unkind. But because I know that that's my weakness, I try my best to be kind. Such a simple point. It's not rocket science. But the truth is, we need to understand and be aware of the areas that we are weak. Yeah. That also helps us get great advice.
Right.
Again, if you don't know your weaknesses, ask. There are plenty of people around you right now who are very willing to help you. All you gotta do is ask.
Yeah.
Second thing, ask for evaluation. You know, the hardest thing for me to do is after preaching a sermon to go back and to listen to myself, right? It's like awkward sometimes. Why did you say that? I already feel like already I know some things I said, but I'm like, I probably shouldn't have said that, right? Evaluating yourself is really difficult. But the second hardest thing that I do is asking someone else to evaluate how I did. Because I worked really hard. I put a lot of effort forward, as we do often. But bro, help me understand what I could do better.
Yeah.
Asking for evaluation. Evaluation is a beautiful thing because if done in the proper heart, you will grow so much.
Right?
Right? You can get an evaluation in literally anything, okay? You can ask, how did I do in that Bible study? Even as a person taking notes, you can ask, what can I do better? How do you think I did? Probably you should have talked more, right? A lot of the people taking notes kind of just sit there sometimes, but amen. Here's my schedule last week, and here's my schedule this week. Hey, what do you think about my schedule? Do you think I'm maximizing my time? Please evaluate me so I can be my best, not for me, but for God. I went on a date last weekend, and here's what I said. Do you think that was right? What would you have said? You can get evaluation on anything. And I think we should incorporate that into our lives, humbling ourselves, lowering our pride, and saying, help me out. Now, I didn't tell Josh I was gonna do this. I love you, dude. I remember when Josh got baptized, and it was just like, since the day he got baptized, Zach and I were hanging out today, and we were like, bro, look at your call return. Look at how many of your recent calls. We both looked at our recent calls, and two calls from Josh yesterday. And then we look back, and it's like March 23rd, March 22nd, you know, February 10th. It's like, whoa! Josh is an incredible man of somebody who seeks advice.
Amen.
I mean, he's on the phone hours every night with different brothers saying, hey, what are we doing? How are we doing? Here's how I'm feeling, but what are we gonna do? That's amazing. And if you haven't noticed, our boy's grown so much in the first couple of months of his discipleship. That's amazing. Stay humble, but you're incredible, bro. I want to emulate that example. Last thing. Here you go. It's up there. I kind of ruined it. Get advice. Get advice, then decide. Don't decide, then get advice. Okay. You got to get advice, then decide. Don't decide, then get advice. That's not advice. That is using your breath, asking to be challenged, okay? That's literally what that is. Humility is saying, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what my plans are. What do you think about this? You know, I think Drake has a song where it says, I don't ask permission, I ask forgiveness. That's proud. That's prideful. That's not right. You don't do that. It's wrong. Because you want to do what's best for God. And that's not best for God. All right. You guys with me? Second point. Initiate the task. All right. So first thing, you got to put your mask down. And the second thing we got to do is we got to become initiators. Oh, my goodness. When I was in the team ministry, I loved the team ministry. And it was so incredible being there. But I, in a lot of ways, I was like, I just wanted everybody to feed me all the time. People came to me and they're like, Matt, how you doing? My parents, I'm living with my parents, and they're going, Matt, how you doing? Here's what you should do. Go ahead and do this. And I was like, being fed, right? But then when I came to the campus ministry, I was like, whoa, where's everybody? You know? Hey, why am I getting a phone call every day from my team leader? I got a, what? What is this? I had to become an initiator.
Yeah.
You know, there's in Proverbs 4, verse 7, becoming an initiator is something that we have to do. And in Proverbs 4, verse 7, it says, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. It's something that you do, and it's something that you must pursue. Right. Nobody's going to give you wisdom.
Yeah.
You're not going to just get wisdom. You got to go get wisdom. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And the cost, though it costs all you have, go get understanding. All that we're talking about today, the idea of getting advice and getting help, that's all responsible on you guys.
Right.
It'll come. People are going to help you. People are going to pull you aside and challenge you. But again, the accelerant comes when you ask for that help. You know, when I was a freshman, I came into college at William Patterson. I was the only disciple living on campus. William Patterson, the greatest school in New Jersey. And when I walk on Stevens, Stevens is the greatest university in New Jersey. I walked on campus. I walked on campus, and I've led two Bible studies, and I was like, how do you share your faith? Help me study the Bible with people, because I'm learning. I want to be better. Teach me, teach me, teach me. And that first year, Charles and I wound up studying the Bible with 25 to 30 people our first year. Nobody got baptized. Nobody came to Christ, but I learned a lot. And that was a time of just great growth for me, because I was way out of my comfort zone. And rather than just trying to shoulder it myself, Charles and I would get together for D time. He became a Christian 4 months prior. So I don't know if this is exactly, you know, what you would say, but it was kind of the line of, so how you doing? Good. How you doing? Good. So what do you want to look at today? Well, what do you want to look at? I learned very young, as Charles was discipling me, and then Rob, and kind of furthermore, I learned from a young age that I have to come to our times of getting advice with questions, yeah, with preparations. And this scripture is so cool because it's, though it costs all you have, go get understanding.
Yeah.
There certainly is a cost here, guys.
Yeah.
What are some of these costs in order to get understanding? Well, the first thing is preparation. You know, do you plan ahead of time? Before getting time with someone, do you think through questions that you can ask them before you get together? Do you have a notebook? Do you have a file on your phone? Do you have a list of questions that you just want to ask when you bump into somebody? That is really what it means to be an initiator. I love when Emmanuel comes to our D-times. Now, many of you know what a D-time is. D-time is simply a discipling time. It's a time where we get together each week. Everybody here is typically paired up with somebody who they're going to sit down together and they're just going to talk about their lives, how to be a better disciple, a better follower of Christ. That's what D-time is. And so Manny comes to our D times together, and he's got a list of questions, and it's so refreshing. We go through it together. He takes out his little phone, a little pen that's attached to his New Age phone. He's like, yeah, yeah, that's good. I'm like, okay, awesome. And that's so refreshing. It's incredible. My first staff retreat that I went to, this is overkill, guys. You don't have to do this. But I went to my first staff retreat, and I was surrounded by some of the most amazing men of God that I'd ever met before. And I prepared. And what I did here was I listed their names, I listed where they're from, I listed all these different areas that I wanted to grow in, and I said, who is strong in this area that I want to learn from? And then I had a list of questions from each area that I wanted to get help in. This is crazy, guys. I'm like, I did that? Wow. You know? But what I was doing was I was learning, I need to be an initiator. I came back from this retreat a different person.
Right.
The lessons were great, amen, but I prepared in advance to get ready for this. Second thing, what's it gonna cost? It's gonna cost time. It's gonna cost time. Constant communication. You know, the nature of discipleship, everybody needs help every day. Like I said, being a disciple is new territory for a lot of us, and it's going to continue to be new territory for a lot of us. And so when we wait to get advice for a one-time period in our week, there's a lot to get advice on that we wind up not able to get advice on because we wait so long.
Yeah.
One of the costs of getting advice and getting wisdom and getting understanding is daily communication, investing time in one another's relationships. You know, the solution is contacting one another as much as possible with the questions that you have, asking people that you look up to, help me out. Amen? All right, we're coming for a landing here, guys, soon. I think the next thing, what's it going to cost? I think it's going to cost asking the proper people. Getting advice, being an initiator, you want to initiate by asking the proper people. Now, it says, you know, plans fail for lack of counsel, with many advisors, plans succeed. So you want to get a widespread amount of advisors, right? But if you want to grow in your finances, you don't talk to a broke college student who's not doing well with their finances. Maybe you talk to them and go, hey, what should I not do, right? But that's discouraging. I'm going to encourage one another as long as it's called today. But you get advice. You get advice from people who are excellent in that area. You know, you want to start dating. You want to get, you know, how do I date as a Christian? It's wise to get advice from somebody who has dated and dated successfully. Right. Say, hey, how did it go? Yeah. What did that look like? Help me understand what that's like, because I want to do the same thing. Right. But the truth is, and along with this idea of asking the proper people, I think one of the challenges for me is I don't want to ask certain people because I'm afraid of what they're going to tell me. There are certain people that I don't want to ask because I know the answer they're going to give me is not the answer that I want to hear. That's the proper person.
Yeah.
You know, wow. I was talking to Josh the other day. I was like, dude, I really want to get a Xbox One. And I'm balancing, you know, being married with ministry and trying to figure everything else out. And Brielle's like, you should not get a console. And I'm talking to Josh, and Josh is like, bro, you should not do it.
Wow.
And I'm like, you're right. You know? Meanwhile, I've got everybody in the group chat telling me get an Xbox, get a PS4. And then Josh's like, you should not do it. And I'm like, you're right. Right. We got to go to those people in our life. We got to ask those people, even when it comes, even when we're afraid of their answer, that typically is the answer that we should really consider.
Right.
That is the devil's advocate sometimes, too. Hey, maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe I shouldn't go there. We gotta ask the proper people. And lastly, we gotta appreciate the advice.
Yeah.
Being an initiator is a lot of work for you, but also for the people that you get advice from. Sometimes answering the phone at 11 p.m., that's not just work for you. You're humble, amen. You get your heart there, but that's work for the person answering at 11 o'clock at night. You gotta be appreciative of the advice. People in the world, when they go and get help, and they go and get counseling, and they get advice, that could cost $30 an hour, a minimum sometimes, right? And that we're not experts, but we're trying to help each other for free. Amen. You want to Venmo me, I'll take it. But we're just doing it for free. And I'm not saying appreciate by paying, but show your gratitude. Thank you for helping me. I really appreciate that. I'm going to apply this. I'm going to have a quiet time on this. Thank you so much. We got to be grateful.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I said we're coming to a close. Here we are at our close. We're going to become a ministry that is radical. We are a ministry that is radical. We are a ministry that is changing lives, that God's using to help so many people. But I 100% believe that God wants to, and he can, do so much more. We want to see 100 people come to Christ. We want to see 100 people baptized, disciples, in this room as soon as possible. And then that's just one step closer to everybody, honestly, right? We want to see as many people as possible. But that just won't happen. The maturity of the disciples in this group will not happen if each one of us, unless each one of us decide, I am going to be an advice seeker. So are you going to be an advice seeker?
Yes.
Are you going to be an advice seeker?
Yes.
Turn to the person next to you and tell them that you're going to be an advice seeker. Guys, let's do it. Let's grow. And let's change the world. Amen.